Help me. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning message at Fruitland Baptist Church for the 12th of September. This is Pastor John, and my thoughts and prayers have been with you all. I can just imagine maybe this morning that some of you are sitting there and going to listen to this later on this morning and that have been struggling here at Fruitland, and I pray that this message might be a blessing to you and also some food for thought and encouragement. And so this morning, again, our prayers are with everyone that's struggling from the illness and the inconveniences that we've had here, and we hope to see things back on track here soon, but continue to remember each other in prayer. Well, the title of our message today is Why Not Me? The Proper Perspective of the Believer Under Suffering. So with that thought in mind, this should be a very relevant point today for the type of a situation that we're undergoing here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Let's join together in prayer and then we'll begin this message. Our Father in heaven, we come before your throne today acknowledging fully our weaknesses and our neediness before you. Today, Lord, we thank you for the sufficiency that we have in you and a personal walk with you, Lord Jesus, whereby you have bound up all our wounds and healed all of our troubles, Lord, in the eternal sense. And yet, Lord, today as we remain in the flesh, we want to give you praise, but in spite of that, we understand there are many struggles that lots of people are facing today in one way or another. And we thank you that you're a God who is interested and knows of our struggles and that you'll guide until that day of trial is done. Now, again, today we are thankful for what you have afforded to us on the cross of Calvary. And we want to let you know today we love you, Lord, and we certainly proclaim your worthiness today. Now, Lord, I just pray that as I think about our flock this morning, for all those that are experiencing the physical ailments due to this COVID outbreak. And Lord, I just pray that you would be working in the hearts of all of us as we go through these situations. We pray for the life of Fruitland Baptist Church too today. This will be the third Sunday now that we have not met or been open as a gathering place for the believers. But we pray today that this message might go forth and might make a difference in the lives of those that hear it. Father, it's a privilege to serve you. And today, I am thankful for your word that gives us answers to all the critical needs of life. But is the greatest thing that we find in it is that it tells us how much you love us and that you'll never leave us or forsake us. So with that thought in mind today, Lord, we lift this up to you for your honor and glory. And I pray these things today now in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, today's message is, like usual, focused, first of all, toward myself. These things that I study and bring are things that I, first of all, consider in my life and in the needs that I have and the need for comfort that is found in your word. But of course, it's also followed by the needs of God's family here at Fruitland Baptist. And as I'm the under-shepherd here of this flock, I want to do that very thing, to tend the flock and to feed them and care for them well. And then thirdly, in that line of succession, I'm concerned, and I'm preaching this message for those that may be joining us on the internet broadcast. And we don't know who all that might be today, but we know there are at least some that do come here for feeding and to hear what is proclaimed from this pulpit. And so I think we have to come and talk this morning about the way things really are, because it's public knowledge, and I'm always very careful here at Fruitland to protect, again, people's private business. But it is public knowledge now that we're 3 weeks into this COVID outbreak at Fruitland, that this is the third Sunday in a row that we have been closed. We have experienced a major outbreak of the coronavirus in our church family and its sphere of influence. It has ranged from relatively mild in nature to life-threatening serious, including some in critical condition on life support. As of this writing, we are yet considering when and how we'll resume our services in the public forum. So we do ask your prayer today for those that are ill, and for the ministry and the leadership of Fruitland, for God's wisdom and care in this situation. While on the surface, we certainly ask why and how this can be a good thing for God's people and for this church, and why it happened or happens in any given situation, this morning I will attempt to answer that very thing with biblical truth directed at believers, but also food for thought for the unbeliever that will bring us to the conclusion that is our title for today of Why Not Me? The proper perspective of the believer under suffering. So the first thing that we want to examine this morning, and I want to bring this to light and emphasize it once again, I'm talking to believers here this morning, Bible-believing Christians that believe the Word of God is complete in its entirety and that it is sufficient and without error. And so there are five little points that I want to bring today that may be possibilities, either singly or in combination, as to why we face suffering, not just what we've experienced here at Fruitland, but what we experience in general. So the first one is this, and it's simply this. It could be divine blessing or divine retribution by God. Now the Bible, and we would look at that from the perspective of things that happen for good or things that happen that are not good. But the Bible presents both of those possibilities regarding Bible-believing Christians and Old Testament believers. In effect, what the Bible illustrates in some situations, there are extra blessings, it talks about that, for those that obey God, or there may be retribution because of people's disobedience to God, but also remember, not necessarily for either one. And we want to be careful about that, but this is a possibility of why there is suffering in the human experience from a biblical perspective. That brings us to the second possibility here, and this is one that's very easy to understand, and again, we may not be sure ever what the reason is for some of these things, but this is a possibility. And this, just as simply this, general random effects of the curse that all are susceptible to. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, we became under a curse. And God had warned Adam and Eve if they sinned and disobeyed him at the behest of Satan, there would be repercussions for that, and that there would be a curse because of sin that came upon the earth that involved death and many other things. And so we realize there that we work in a broken world where these things and that we consider to be bad are a possibility. Man can choose to be redeemed for eternity, though, the good news, through Christ's work on the cross and resurrection. But the fact of the matter is that as long as we walk this earth, we will experience the effects of the curse this side of eternity. And so We understand that in a very poignant way. There are things that take place that are going to be because are in a fallen world, and that certainly the coronavirus and other health issues are an effect of the sickness of sin that fell upon mankind. Not necessarily that someone did some kind of a specific sin, although as we found in point one, that could be the case, but these are just general things that take place in our broken world today, even though they are still under the authority of God. The third thing to consider in this understanding of why we suffer as a believer, and this is a very important one too, because I believe God has many messages for us. Excuse me. And that this may indeed be a message from God to change our perspective on wrong thinking. And let's face it, folks, many times we have wrong thinking about things, but God has his ways of either gently or through strong encouragement changing our thinking. There are also times that we have preconceived notions that are wrong, and even about his ways. And sometimes these things come upon us for simple reasons that they are to make us stronger or more dependent on God and less dependent on ourselves. and to be in tune with His program in the present and future for us. So that's another reason God may allow these things to take place specifically for a reason. So I'm saying here in the case of the church and the people of the church here at Fruitland, maybe there are some things that God wants us to change our mind about, and that He's going to use this, and that He is going to maybe make us stronger because of the trials that we've faced. And as we kind of regroup, this has been a significant number of people, and it will be, I'm praying about that, and it will be a very interesting challenge to see how God puts this back together or what the outcome will be from a situation like this. The fourth thing to consider here is simply this, and it's to be proof tested for defects. And what I mean by proof tested, it's to ourselves. And if this kind of correlates with that third point, there may be things that we encounter in this situation that we're under, this challenge that's been presented to us, that we're going to find that, you know what, we're defective. We're not up to the level that God would have us to be. But so it shows us that we have defects, and it's also a proof test that involves our adversary and God's adversary, the fallen angel Lucifer, who we know as Satan or the devil. And we'll see that later in this message today, as it revolved around a man that you've heard of many times, Job, who I think was one of the persons that suffered the most. At least he was high ranking in the Bible characters. And there was a proof test that was going on here, not only to Job in that situation, but God was showing Satan again that Job was up to the test to withstand the attack that he brought upon him. Well, the fact of the matter is, we are not being proof tested before God, though, because God already knows in His omniscience. Omniscience simply means in His capability to know everything, which He has. He knows already what we're capable of, and He will not put us in a test or in a situation where we will fail before Satan. And that was the case with Job. And we'll explore that just a little bit more further on. But we are not being tested by God to see what we're made of, because He already knows. But we're being tested to see and to be shown our defects and to be proven before Satan that we are God's. Again, I want to remind you, this is something that is being brought this morning to Bible-believing Christians. There may be all kinds of other philosophies and thinking that are in the hearts of men, but if we're under the guidance of Scripture, I think these things apply. And then the last little point here, the fifth point of these possibilities, is that simply this is just another battle in a war that God has won. And I mean that word won by being past tense. The war against Satan was won at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus again bore the sins of the world. He offered Himself in our place as a sacrifice for sin, and then He rose again to defeat death. And that's what God said would take place. He said not only physical death, but eternal death, because of Adam and Eve's disobedience there in the garden. And so Jesus won the victory over Satan on the cross. But understand that this character called Satan is such a delusional character that he thinks he can still win between the God of the Bible and the God, that he can still win in this war between the God of the Bible and he being the God, little g, of this world. Well, what I'm talking about, folks, is simply what we know as satanic attack against God's people. People that are trying or are doing God's will are always going to be the target of Satan. He wants to thwart God's plan in his delusionalism, and he wants to weaken or destroy the people of God. I don't think we can for 1 minute think that that could not be what's taking place, that Satan is attacking us. But let me tell you, our loving God has these things firmly under control. You know, this will be a situation that we will deal with until God finally deals with Satan toward the end of the tribulation period, where he's released from the pit for a season, but then is brought to judgment and is cast into the lake of fire. You can read about that in Revelation 20. But until that time, mankind, believers in the flesh, are going to struggle with these attacks. But thankfully, there's some good news, because Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, looks forward to when these attacks will be put down in finality. As I just mentioned, this will be toward the end of the tribulation period. But it's also coupled with a warning for those who deal with Satan until that time. And I want to read this for you this morning. This is Revelation 12, 12. And here's what the Apostle John writes there. He says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea." Now, if you want to read the text of Revelation 12, 12, you'll find that what takes place there is that Satan and his minions are going to be confined to the earth. Now, I believe yet today he has access to the throne of God, just like it is in Job's time. He's the accuser of the brethren. He comes and makes a case, but remember, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf, and the blood of Christ defends and defeats these attacks of Satan, because when he accuses us, the Father God sees Jesus' blood when he looks at our account, and he says, "No, my son and daughter are innocent because of the blood of Christ, and therefore not attacked." But what is happening is he will be confined to the earth in the late times. And we aren't at that point yet, but we are coming to that point, and I believe that everything is moving in that direction. We know that things usually don't happen with a clean cutoff, but Satan knows that his days are numbered. He's not all-knowing. He's not omniscient as God is, but he's aware of this situation, yet he is delusionally seeing what he can do to still try to defeat God and his people. So, Revelation 12, 12, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." And then the Apostle John writes, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time." Time is running out for him, and he knows it, even in this day. And he is doing everything he can with increasing intensity to leave his mark on history and to destroy and to defeat people and the Lord's work. That's satanic attack. And folks, as time marches toward his destiny of the lake of fire, his attacks will increase in frequency and intensity. Well, these 5 points that I've illustrated this morning in general lay out what and why is going on in the lives of believers. All or one of these points may apply to any of us. I believe with all my heart that maybe all these points, or maybe some at least, apply to our current situation here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We have to consider, though, in the second little point here of our message today, as I introduce that, and we're going to take an intermission here in about 5 minutes. And this message today, incidentally, will be covering both the morning and evening service slot times. And there will be a short break between them, but you will be able to catch these in two parts for today that will be in place of the regular morning and evening message. But point two, and this is a very lengthy point, but I'll just introduce it before we go to break here briefly. And this is what we need to remember as we consider this point again of this message of why not me rather than why me, and the perspective that a believing, Bible-believing Christian ought to have under suffering. But let's remember this as we begin point two. God works through all things to enlarge the big picture of the cross. Now, I've made this contention many times. I think the cross is the focal point of all history. Creation is a big thing. And the ending of things is a big thing. There's no little thing with God. Everything he does is a big thing, but the cross is the central focus. And I think we need to really consider this morning when we think about this question of why not me, okay? So God works through all things to enlarge the big picture of the cross, where God in the flesh bore all the suffering for all time that came as a result of Lucifer's rebellion. That's Satan when he rebelled as the lead archangel in heaven. And of course, man followed in his behest, Adam and Eve, and they rebelled against God. But now consider this. Jesus, through no fault of his own, took this upon himself to set everything back in order for those who will receive what he did on the cross. Folks, the thing to consider this, when we think about this, is when we face suffering and these types of things, the thing that we always ought to think about is that Jesus faced all that suffering, and he was innocent. And you know what? That this is just a start of this answer to that is, but if God the Father would bruise his Son on our behalf that was totally innocent, to take upon him the punishment of death and the punishment in his body for the sins of mankind, and then let alone, and he shed his blood and then rose again. But you know what? If God did that to his own Son, how can we not say, why am I not worthy of some suffering? You know, Jesus took this in my place. It should direct us to the cross, my friends. Because the fact of the matter is, we are not above Jesus. You know, we are not of the rank of God. We're created in his image. But if God would bruise his own precious Son for our sake, how can we think that we should be able to get through anything without suffering? That's the point of all this. If God went through these things for me, how can I say, well, why me? But I can come to understand as we look at the full picture of this, especially involving the cross, that the things that we suffer, no matter what, from the perspective that God bruised his only unique Son, the God-man, God himself in the form of his Son Jesus, had to take the punishment for our sin. How can we not say, why not me? We in effect what? We've been recipients of God's grace in all kinds of ways, and especially in our salvation. Why should we be immune from these types of things that come our way under the behest of the broken world we live in and the attacks of the evil one? Now, that's not to say that God doesn't protect us from many things, and I want to make that very clear for Bible-believing Christians. God's protected us from many things by his grace. But you know what? Rather than us saying, why me? We should say, why not me, Lord? You took this all in my place. Well, we're going to take just a short break. I'm going to take a little drink of water. No, I do not have COVID, in case some of you wonder. I caught a cold from Kim. Just incidentally, for those that are listening, Kim and I had COVID about a year and a half ago or more, back in March of 2020, I believe. And so we know where you're at, believe me. And we are very sympathetic toward that. But we're going to take a break for just a few minutes, and then we're going to look at our predecessor Job, who suffered some serious things for his faith. And we'll take a look at what the Bible has to say about that and how God delivered him. So until we reconvene, take a little break here, and we'll see what else is in store. Amen.